Blog Talk Radio.
Home, Helen on Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so excited that you'll join me on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously, yes, tremendously blessed of the Lord. I'd like to share with you a wonderful lesson on today. We're going to be talking about the temptation of Christ. Yes, Jesus as a man was subject in all things to his heavenly Father, and his submission actually gave no room for a temptation of the enemy. And so I want you just to grab your Bible or come on in to home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment, where Victoria is living through the word of empowerment from the biblical lessons and principle. And we're going to be exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. And I know that you're going to be tremendously blessed. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through verse 11. It's going to be our scriptural foundation for today. And then we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 as well. So in your hearing, let's read Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through 11. It reads on this line, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward had a hunger. And when he was tempted, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Further, he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taking him up into the holy city and set him on the peninsula of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee or concerning thee, and in thy hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time that thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Further, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, and thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil take him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of heaven, of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Then the devil leaveth, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So far, the reading of our actual background scripture in which we're going to be taking our text from and our lesson from and looking at our lesson on today, there is one other scripture or two that we're going to look at as well in this particular lesson on today. And it's going to be found over in Mark chapter number 1, and it's going to be verses number 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he said, there in the wilderness 40 days, and tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So far, the reading of the scripture, and as we get ready to look into our lesson on today, I know that without a shadow of a doubt, as you're taking your notes, you're going to be tremendously blessed by the word, and also how to even overcome some of the temptations that are coming up against you, even in your daily life, and walk with Christ. So let's take a look at the lesson on today. Now, as we celebrate the events such as Jesus' birth, the baptismal, as well as his triumphal entry and anointing, the Last Supper, the death and resurrection. However, we're in Christian practice, do we applaud the ministry of his 40 days also in the wilderness? And as we know, we do not really, sometimes we talk about that sometimes in our lessons as well. It's true, more or less in our Sunday school lessons or sometimes even in the preached word. But let's take a moment as we're focusing on today about those 40 days that were spent there in the wilderness, because even sometimes, even in our own personal life, we find ourselves in some type of a wilderness experience as we walk with Christ. There will be a time when it seems as though that we have been abandoned and been left out in the wild for the beast, only for the angels of the Lord to come in to minister unto our heart. How do we govern ourselves? How do we handle ourselves during those times, those wilderness times? And so as we're looking at this lesson on today, we'll be able to extract some of the things or tools in which we're able to glean on how that we can take a stance or maintain or be contained or be sustained during this time of our wilderness experience. Now, let's look at suffering always involves two types of temptation. The temptation is a type of suffering. Human flesh loves to be tempted yet hates discomfort. Now, the spirit, on the other hand, sails through suffering and it thrives on it, but avoids temptation. Now, the art of being Christ-like in this life is finding the perfect balance between the spirit craves and the flesh needs. Now, even in the church, though we talk a lot about sacrifices, we tend to turn to fundraisers rather than give from our own wealth. We want to talk about benevolence as a program rather than the character quality. These all things are very important, but it also demands us to crucify our flesh or to take away from the things that we may perhaps like. But it's also a demand on the fact that we are being tempted sometimes even drive to be the man and woman of God that God called us to be. Now, as we stay focused in on what God has called us to do and on the word of the Lord, it is the word of the Lord that is able to sustain and to fortify, as well as to strengthen the child of God through whatever test, whatever trial or tribulation that they may find themselves going in. And the first thing that I would like to say or share with you that is very critical for us to take very seriously in our walk with the Lord is being able to be in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so being in communion with him, he said that if we will acknowledge him first, he will direct our path. And so from that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, establishing that relationship, communing with God, talking to him, begging him, bidding him to come closer, bidding him to come and speak unto you and bidding him to come and to be involved or engaged in your life in whatever capacity that may be, is critical for us as the children of God, is to make ourselves available unto God and what God is saying regarding our circumstances and our situation. Only he knows the beginning from the end. Only he knows what he's already orchestrated and planned for our lives. Nothing take God unaware. He already knowing in his omnipotency, omniscient, he's already knowing. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, amen. He's present everywhere and things, and he have all power is in his hand. And so we can recognize that in and through his all power and his attributes that he's able to sustain, he's able to keep, he's able to work mightily and greatly in and through the lives of his people because we dare to make ourselves available and allowing him to come in and commune with us. So our first key point is that communion with the Lord, sucking with him, talking to him via prayer. prayer. Prayer is a vehicle. It's a tool that God has given unto the church for us to render our supplications, our prayer requests, and just be engaging in conversation with God, because prayer is conversation. Is when we engage with God, when we talk to him, when we commune with him, he's able to undergird and fortify us as the children of God. He said for us, and the scripture states, for us to come, cast our care upon him because he careth for us. And so here's the invitation, is that whatever you go through, whatever you're facing, whatever your care is, whether it's a circumstance, a situation, whether it is a place of a joyous accomplishment, he said, whatever that thing is, if you come and cast it upon me, amen, because I care for you. And now with God caring about you, it's vital for us to take the invitation and claim the invitation that he's given unto us to come and cast that care upon him, as opposed to be a burden bearer. He doesn't want us to bear our burden. He wants us to cast those cares, which is a part of the burden, because we're concerned about it, and now it's become a burden to us because we forgot to cast it upon him before it became that burden. And so what we have to do is continually to cast our cares upon the Lord, because he careth for us. Now, as we are casting our cares upon the Lord, we must recognize that he, and he alone, he said in his word, that all power belongeth unto him. We do recognize that he is the creator of all things. He got all power in his hand, and he can do all things that he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and when he wants to do it. And so that brings us to a place, amen, to recognize that he really do care about your circumstances and situation. Now, we must recognize then, too, we must understand, number two, is understand our own makeup, understand our strengths and our weaknesses, our inclination, understand the things that we like and dislike, and have a greater grip understanding and knowing those things, and knowing the things that tempt you to walk you away from the things of the Lord, and understand and recognize that, because unless you know that, and unless you identify those areas in your life of weaknesses, the enemy will use your weaknesses, amen, to capture or overthrow you. But once you recognize that your weaknesses, then you can begin to give those things over unto the Lord and allowing God to strengthen you. I remember there used to be a song that we used to sing. It said, Lord, let the light from the lighthouse shine upon me. If there's anything that's not like you, take it out and strengthen me and things. And so here we find that when we find things that is in our life that are not like God, not God quality or God likeness, we can cry unto God and say, Lord, take those things away from me, because I only want the thing that's going to strengthen me, the things that's going to fortify me to be the man and the woman of God that you called me out to be, and so that it won't overthrow me or cause me to go into bondage. Now, let's see. Even with the devil, he took Jesus up into the holy city. Now look at him. Now look how he did. He took them into the holy city, and he set them on the peninsula of the temple, and then he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Now, the devil already knew that he was the Son of God, but look at this question that he's doing and presenting unto the Lord our God. He said, if you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angel charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now, he recognized, the devil know the word and things, and he knew the scripture as well and things as what the scripture has said. But look at here. Jesus knew his mission. He knew what he was called to do. He knew that he had the availability or at any time, given time, for the angels to come and to bear him up and things. He recognized that even though he had access to the legions of angels, just at a beck and call or even of a thought that they would come to his rescue or come and deliver, but he knew his purpose. Now, I want you to know you got to know your purpose in life. Know your purpose, even in the kingdom of God, because guess what? The devil himself will come rolling up in your face and try to talk you out of what God has called you to, out of their own weaknesses and their own mindset to try to talk you into the places where they feel you should be. But this is critical for us to know. The Bible said make our calling and election sure. We have to take time and spend time with the Lord and begin to say, God, this is what you told me to do. I'm just making my calling as well as my election sure before your presence of what you called me to do. And see, because guess what? The devil will take you right to the place of where your blessing is. Look what he did to Jesus. He said the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Now, why didn't he take him out to the mountain at first? Why didn't he deal with them there? And see, he said it took him up into the holy city. Right there in the holy city will be your test or your trial. Or you're being tempted right there during the time of a wilderness experience. It'll be right in the holy city where the enemy will come and try to tempt you. And so we must be mindful in things of what the word said, and not only the word, what the word said, what is the time and the season, your purpose in that word, in that time, in that season, and so that we can have a better understanding, because sometimes things may happen in our life and we don't understand why we can't get back to church. I can't understand. God, what is my purpose right now? Because this time, as well as this season, was made for a purpose and a reason in my life. And now when you begin to talk to God like that, remember I said communing with him, you can talk to him and say, what is the purpose of why I'm in this situation now? What do you want? And what are you calling for out of my life now, God, so that I will be able to govern myself accordingly to what your word said, that I won't jump out of the test, get out of the wilderness too soon before whatever you're trying to get to me in the wilderness or through me in the wilderness, that I will be able to accomplish, because when I come out of the wilderness, I'm going to need what I gain in the wilderness to execute the blessing or execute the purpose in that next phase of my life of what I've gained out of my wilderness experience. So it's not there really to overthrow you, but it's there to transfer into your life and download into your life something that God is trying to get to you. So it's up to us as the children of God is to go back to God and say, Lord, what is my purpose in it? What do you have to do in it? So that your emotional man won't cloud out the divine plan of God that he has for you right there by bemoaning the fact that you're in the wilderness, by bemoaning the fact that you feel isolated. Well, God spoke to my heart and he said, Helen, share with my people. Isolation doesn't mean desolation. It means revelation, and then it's going to bring forth manifestation. So when you're in that place of isolation, God is trying to revelate you with knowledge about him or your purpose, so that when you come back out of that thing, you're coming out with greater power and a greater manifestation of what God was telling you when you was in it. And so as we begin to understand and discern time and seasons in our life, amen, there's a time and a season for all things, but there's a purpose in that time, because time was created for the purpose, amen. Time was created for that season that you may be finding yourself in, but it's up to us to get back to God and find out what is the purpose for this season and this time so that we can be successful and accomplish or execute what the Lord our God has for us. Oh, child of God, I am so excited that you joined me today. Oh, my God. I tell you, this is blessing me, and I pray that you're being blessed too in and through and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. I still holler in my spirit of the Holy Ghost. Oh, shout out, oh, shout. Have you ever been tasting of something that is so good? It's kind of like, oh, my God, this is good. Well, I'm saying today, oh, my God, this is some good stuff. It's blessing me, and I pray that it's blessing you in a mighty and a special way. You got to recognize, children of God, that there were three things that had to be overcome during this wilderness experience. And one of the things was the physical lust that, see, the enemy was trying to entice Christ to turn stones into bread. He drew on the human tension between the flesh needs and the spirit desire. And so here we can take a point that always when there is a spiritual desire, there is going to be a fleshly also need trying to be fulfilled. Now, what's going to ride out? It's going to get the victory. Is it going to be the fleshly need get the victory or the spiritual desire? And so it's critical for us sometimes to walk away from ourselves. Sometime and say, I'm going to stay focused on what God's called me to do. I'm going to move forward. Do I really need that now? Is that really relevant in my life right now? And if that fleshly need is not relevant in my life right now, I'm going to walk away from it because I desire the things of the Lord. Amen. Reason why we pointed it out as a fleshly need, well, we have need to eat, but we have need to fast too. And so these things are very critical for us as we're sitting and making the decision on which one to choose. And the enemy will tempt you on every front. Why is it when you fast and all of a sudden there's a potluck and they're going to sit the food right on your desk? Well, I believe that that's a trick of the enemy that's trying to tempt you to keep you from getting the blessing that God has ordained for you in through the fast that you cried out and wanted to give unto the in separate faith. Sat before the Lord our God and make yourself available before the Lord our God. The other thing is spiritual temptation is just as critical too, because there are spiritual temptation that sometimes try to overtake us. The devil likes to tempt us with spiritual pride and things. Jesus said, and you scripted, the devil misused a verse of scripture speaking of Christ's glorification and protection. Although this passage did not apply to the Lord, Jesus knew that it would be wrong to use supernatural power for self-gratification and personal promotion. And so he didn't use the scriptures and things, because he could have used the scripture and things, but he knew he was there by ordained purpose of God, and he stayed focused to the purpose of God. And sometimes God calls us to die, and sometimes to die even spiritually and things, and sometimes even before people when you're being attacked publicly and things, and God said, I don't want you to say anything, even though you're right. I don't want you to say anything. Don't use now your supernatural power for your self-gratification or your personal promotion. You don't even have to justify what you did or said, amen, because it was of me. And think, all I need you to do is just to be graciously silent. And thing, and I will fight for you. And sometimes when you are being tempted like that, it's hard. It's not easy for a child of God when you know you're in the right and you know that you've been wrong and God said, I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to keep loving and being gracious and being kind. It takes the power of God to sustain and to keep a child of God from going off, from going there. And thing, it takes the child of God to be loving, prayed up, fasted up, and thing, to be loving to those that you know that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. You know, the same one that may be grinning right there in your face, you know that that's Judas getting ready to kiss you, getting ready to walk away from you and betray you. And God said, I just want you to love them and show them nothing but the love of God, even though I showed you their heart or what they're getting ready to do and showed you what really in their heart, the wickedness in their heart. And God said, I just want you to show them nothing but love, even though I showed you before when they came with wickedness in their heart against you. And so that's what God is like. Try us to see how we will become our victorious, amen, as we depend upon him and not allow self-gratification or personal promotion to take place. Amen? Amen. And so knowing man is to be tested by God, not God by man. Jesus, again, quoted scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We should not challenge God. When he has given us a promise, we can just claim it. However, we should not boast about things about God and then try to make him prove it. Now, Elijah heard from the Lord when he built an altar against the prophet of Baal. However, some individual looked foolish and dishonored God by claiming that which God has not promised and then expecting him to prove himself. And so we must recognize that we got to stay in those confines which God has already approved for us as children of God so we won't tempt the Lord our God. Amen. Now let's look at the third thing. It's the pride of life. Now, a couple of days ago, perhaps maybe about a week or so ago, or maybe even more, that God spoke to my heart, and he began to tell me about something that is very prevalent that he was very concerned with, and that was spiritual arrogancy and high-minded and stiff-neckedness. He said, Helen, steer yourself away from that. Tell my people, warn my people that that's a stench in my nostril. I don't want my people to act like that. God is a God of love, amen, and we must be still yet a loveful people of God, amen, and not allow the lust and the pride of life to overtake us. Now, the enemy tried to entice Jesus to consider having all the kingdom of the world without having to go to the cross. It is too easy for humanity to crave a shortcut than to accept the path the Lord provides. Many sins are moral shortcuts. However, how many have to bow to Satan, have bowed to Satan as a path of substitution. And so we have to, as children of God, there is no shortcut in things in this walk with us, and it's a process. Yes, we're going to be tempted. Yes, we're going to be tried. Yes, we're going to be purified. And yes, we're going to be going through, amen. But God is doing something much greater in and through our life as we go through with the Holy Ghost and God leading and guiding us. Because he said we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Amen. And so that's what is so powerful. Jesus overcame all of the most plaguing sins in the church today. He overcame pride and proud people have a hard time fighting the devil because they are already so much like him. Covetousness leads a person to desire things, but often the desire for things is for the sake of appearance. Human pride drives us to look better than one another or at least be acceptable to others because of money, because of accomplishment, and because of influence or other transient concerns. Now, Jesus did not live for appearance. He's not concerned that much about us living for our appearance, but he's concerned about the condition of our hearts and the condition of our souls. Amen? He did take care of how he did things so that he was not able to make anyone stumble. However, public appearance was not his focus. Divine acceptance was his priority. Eve, lust for pride, lured her to eat the forbidden fruit, believing she would be like God. Israel lusted after the God of a sinful nation, so they would be more accepted. In the church, pride may attempt some to boast of the number of people who attend their church or how many souls they have won or the measure of their perceived holiness is. And God blesses us with building and land and people, but we should never let blessing inflate our hearts with human pride. If God has given us skill or money, we shall hold them loosely and use them for his glory. When we become grasping or seeking self-glory, guess what? We will lose it all. Now, Jesus was our perfect example. Now, the concept of fasting for many days seems foreign to many believers even today. Many Christians never heard the Spirit calling them to pray and fast, but it's still a biblical prescription for gaining strength for victory. Jesus was not afraid of the weaknesses, for he knew it was the source of strength. When I am weak, then I am strong. we only experience the authority of God when we stoop as low as he did. Joyfully enduring suffering will shape us. Fasting does not exempt us from the temptation or other form of suffering. It prepares us for them. Israel rejected God in the wilderness and followed the lust of their flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of their eyes. In the stark contrast, Jesus defeated the enemy and came out of the wilderness victorious. He set the example for us against the foes of Israel's mistakes. Now, angels ministered to Jesus, and he left the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. He came back empowered and ready to work. God calls many people to his work. Unfortunately, too many reject for them. They want to hang out with the crowd at the Jordan rather than enduring the wilderness experience of growing into the image of God. God may allow us to encounter all kinds of situations and temptation, but how we choose to respond to them will define us. If we fail the test, we get back up and we go back to the school of hard knocks and start all over. As we continue to move on and move forward with more power to face the new challenge in him. And we are not exempt from challenges. We're not exempt from temptation. We're not exempt from being tried by the enemy. Now, in my conclusion, we can expect to experience the same victory by using Christ's example in temptation. We need the celestial reworking of our thinking to realize the beauty of suffering. To be faithful in suffering will strengthen us in all power of the Spirit. We do not need more understanding of suffering. Rather, we have to recognize that being constant, here it is, and faithful in the face of suffering and temptation is the path to complete victory. Rather than begging God for a miraculous way of escape from suffering, we should ask him to strengthen us to resist the devil. First, we should make sure our heart is aligned with the Lord. Then we need to stand our ground. The devil will flee as we resist him, worship God, and quote the word of God. We do not dwell on the temptation. We deflect it with the word of God. We can defeat the enemy only through the strength Christ give us. And so as the children of God, we should run from temptation to the Lord's throne of mercy. He understands our temptation and will give us grace to conquer it. We should pray. We should fast and humble ourselves before the Lord. Only through the strength Christ give us may we overcome the enticement. We should realize that he allows tests to shape us and to draw us close to himself. Once we emerge victoriously from that wilderness experience, we can minister to others. Jesus spent most of his ministry among people, not alone in the wilderness. However, Jesus did not refuse to face his temptation of experiences in the wilderness. He suffered temptation. He resisted temptation, and he exercised victory over it. And so we too, as the children of God, when we're being tried, when we're being tempted, we must recognize that God is strengthening us through that test or through that temptation. He's going to strengthen us through your suffering. You're going to come out with the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also being revelated by the word of the Lord our God, because you dare to go through, and not only going through, but the Bible said that with man it is impossible, with God all things are possible, and the victory that you need even now is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all things are possible to him that believe. Just keep believing that God's going to bring you out, that he's going to open the door, that he's getting ready to make a way out of no way. Speak those things that are not as though they are, and watch God use your faith, and watch God use your word, watch God use your tongue and your vocal cord to walk you out to your own place of victory, because even as your faith, amen, God said, according to your faith, so be it. Unto you. He said, when I come, will I find faith? Amen. And so he's looking for us to propel before him our faith, our dependency, and our love
for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, child of God, I pray that this has been a help for you today. And no matter what you face, no matter how big the mountain may look, speak to that mountain and command that mountain to move yonder place. Watch God do it. No matter how tall the giant may look before you, grab your stone, amen, and come to him against that spirit, amen, in the name of the Lord of hosts. His name is Jesus. And watch God take the head off of that giant that is standing before you. As I close on today, the Bible said no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And you can stand flat foot in your house and speak the word of God. And God said, I promise I'm going to watch over my word to perform it. And so when I hear my word, when I see my word proceeding out of your mouth, amen, I'm going to perform it, because it took faith for you to speak it, amen, when you had no other choice but to speak it, amen. God said, I see your faith. It's your faith believing me to perform this. It's a promise that belongs unto you. All you need to do is claim it and watch God bring it to pass, because he is the one that's going to do the performance, not you. Amen. Oh, isn't that something you can rest in? I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care who come up against you. Rest in the fact of knowing that you are the child of God, his royal diadem. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you for each and every one that heard it on today and those that you're going to bless, Lord. Let it find root in their heart, God, that it will bring forth fruit in the name of the Lord Jesus, that they speak, Lord, your word in the atmosphere and watch you perform it. Father, we recognize that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. And, Father, we thank you because you're the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Now, Father, until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make your people rich and add no sorrow. You are our God. You are our keeper. You are our provider. And we choose you and life. We shall look up and live. And Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. Well, child of God, I'm so glad that you was with me on today. And as we conclude, as we always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you, yes, you, are just one question away from your miracle. All you have to do is ask. And it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. According to the word of the Lord our God, I pray that you'll be blessed. Until we meet again, blessings be unto you. Bye-bye.